What's so great about?
And welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that has no qualms with cracking open a nice canister full of steam and really just going to town on it. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, Chief.
Andy, you may have picked up...
What was that?
Yeah, it was a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we will be covering in the penultimate episode of our sequels miniseries, 2019's Doctor Sleep, the sequel to The Shining.
Ooh. I look forward to talking about that, Terry. Okay. But first...
All right.
How the bloody hell have you been, more importantly?
I've been good. It's been a whole 4 days since we've seen each other. Andy invited me down for a lovely barbecue in his back garden. It's a family affair. I feel like I've been opened into the family.
You are a part of the family. I mean, it's a regular thing now in my family because Tony's wife is called Terry with an I, and if ever the name Terry gets mentioned, it's not even a joke that gets laughed at. It's just understood. I'm like, no, my Terry. You know, like, and everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Terry,
and like,
why?
Joni thinks of like Bonnie as like. Kind of like a cousin, you know what I mean? Like, because she's...
That's so sweet.
You know, like, she doesn't really... Because it's all just people are coming and going, so she just kind of thinks it's all part of... Which it is all
mesh.
Part of.
Yeah, yeah. I was that as well when I was a kid. I was like, oh, my cousin Joey is like some kid that, like, would just show
some
up around
punk.
There. Yeah, show up around there. It's like, he's not related to us. Like, what?
But it was fun. You know what? It was the most people I've ever had in my house.
Really?
At the same time. So if I counted, there was 16 people.
Was there?
Yeah.
Including the little ones.
Yeah, you can.
You've got to count them.
You've got to count them, haven't you?
It was fun.
It was fun.
It was, how'd you say? A handful is not, like, I was never stressed. Yeah? Were you stressed out of your mind?
Kerry said afterwards.
You handled it well.
Do you know what? Thank you very much. I mean, I didn't do much, but I was.
You kept it together, though.
I kept it together.
KIT, man.
I was doing the dance, feeling the flow, working, if you will.
I had a nice burger.
Yeah. And afterwards, me and Kerry were like, but that went really good. And we were like, yeah. And then, like, 5 minutes later, I was like, I'll be honest with you, I hated every second of it. And she started laughing. I'm like, do you know what? I'm like, I didn't hate every second of it, but I didn't enjoy it.
You weren't able to relax.
But I was glad that it went well and everyone had a good time.
So, well, you're never able to relax with those things. Like,
no, I'm
every other minute.
You're worried about to step on a kid. Your poor Gus went fucking back into a big box of water. Like,
could have I missed it? To be honest,
it was just in his nappy. I mean, it was brilliant. Yeah. To be, if I may say,
but
he
went full on like boosh.
Like, oh my god, the shock!
I was in consoling Bonnie, she, like, big fat tears rolling down her cheek while she's chewing on those. What are they, fancy rings or whatever you got?
Oh, yeah, the ice.
And
rings.
I was like, what's the matter? Mom said I couldn't have cake. I was like, we're bringing the cake home again. And I was like, am I going to get a party bag? And I'm like, I don't. In my head, I'm like, I can't say yeah because I don't know. Because it's a small party.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if there's going to be party bags. I was like, well, I don't know. Some places have party bags.
Pulling like, out the bag.
Oh, yeah. We still have the other one. We haven't opened the other one that Gus got because he'll just eat them all, those little toys or whatever.
It's funny, like, that just summed it up. And then Tony was like, you know.
These kids are so chill.
So chill. Even to the point where, like, you know, I don't know if I can say that, but, like, one of his kids had, like, a little accident and he was just like, he's like, I've had an accident, so you're going to have to change me. like that. So,
very like Tony.
So
like,
matter of factly, like, okay. like, you know.
I had a bit of an accident myself with Tony and his hat. Did you hear about this?
No.
So there was a hat. So his son came up to me. I'm not going to say his name on. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to dead name him on air. But he came up. He was wearing a hat, and he was like, "Here you go, a hat." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And I was like, "I don't want. What am I going to do?"
Fucked it over the wall.
There, you know where the chairs were.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just like tossed it onto the chair, but I didn't see the big bucket of water. It was beside like, bounced and went in the water. And then
here's a hat.
It was like
yeah,
a
thanks,
hat
kid.
It was a hat that Terry had got him for Father's Day because it was like Daddy Cafe, and it was like soaked. And like he was like, what? Like Terry was like, yeah, so Terry came over and said, I hate Tony, and threw it in the water. And I was like, yeah, there's only one daddy around here, me. Real alpha move.
It was, you know what, it was fun.
Lovely to see
I
the mean, two.
It was fun. It was one of those things, like, when I've been at weddings and stuff, people have been like, yours was a bit different, but like, I've been at weddings where I'm like, where the groom is like, not enjoying it, you know, because there's too much stress, too much to do. Making sure everyone's happy, going from person to person.
That's part of it. That is part of the wedding.
To a much smaller degree, that's how...
It'll be like that when you get married.
It won't be.
When are you getting married, Andy?
We planned to do it this August, but haven't done a thing about it. So.
Well, August is a month away.
Yeah, so that's not happening. Because you need 3 months, don't you, to... I don't know, man. I don't know. You know? The two of us, when we talk about marriage, it's like, want to get married? Yeah. All right.
Best thing you could do is... If you're doing it, do the registry office.
Yeah,
keep it small, and then just rent a little room and some food. Like, don't, or even do,
that's what it'll
be. Or do a little dinner or something like that. Like, you know, a couple hundred quid.
Yeah,
sure, your dad will pay for it. Like,
but you know what? Yeah.
that man who was at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, while we were slumming it at the family,
burning to a crisp. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
I got a bit pink.
Did you?
Yeah, I always do. Like, if I'm out in the sun,
you're a pinksman.
Oh man, I burn these days so easily.
Face, arms.
Arms, I'm okay. Arms, I color nicely on my arms. Face, I go a bit puce. Crimson is a nice way of
puce.
But, yeah.
What is that, a color?
Oh yeah, it's a thing.
Puce.
Yeah. Where it's like,
it sounds like an insult.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, it's like puce. It's like if we were having a UFC fight.
Yeah.
And you had me in like a rear naked hold.
Quite likely.
Just, and I was able to hang on until the bell.
Unlikely.
And then you release me, the color of my face would be like puce.
I love the specific example and how I come across very well in this example.
Because I want to be the puce one.
Yeah, you would be the puce.
I was able to tough it out.
If we were grappling.
Yeah. I have no doubt about it. I have no grappling experience.
Fuck yeah. God, we've gone through our whole friendship with the exact opposite mindset. I'm like, no, I'm not even gonna
street fight.
Well, I'd say,
let's break it down. Okay, what would be the first thing you would try and do if we were having a street fight?
I would try and take you down.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd get close to you.
Okay,
I'd get real close. And I would.
That's probably the most effective. It's just having a jiu-jitsu fight then.
Yeah, I would bring you into my world, Terry. I would get you in double underhooks, and I would stick my leg behind, and I would trip you up. And once you're on the ground, good night.
Yeah. So I'll keep it on the feet. Big
boot
to the bollocks. First thing. Then when you're on the ground, whatever debris is lying around, and just start.
Oh, so you're proper.
Yeah, dirty fighter, huh?
That'd be brilliant. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, you know.
We could be like Roddy Piper and Keith David, or Jimmy and Timmy, if I'm speaking your language, in South Park.
Do you think we'd be capable, if we had a physical fight, to be friends after?
Yeah, I think so.
I
don't think, I don't see there ever be a reason for us to actually need to blow off that much steam one another.
Yeah, I can't imagine either of us getting each other that
We don't mad. Really begrudge each other a lot of stuff.
Fairly not. Vocally, I'm just kidding. Hey, I have something that I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
I think we've touched on it before on the pod. I want to talk about shoes for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I feel like I'm going mad with the accepted price
of runners. Like,
of runners,
fuck off. Like, it's crazy.
And the style of runners. I feel it's gone so backwards. Now, these are just your standard.
Yeah, but they're a good style.
These are good. I'll tell you why. 15. Well, they're wise now. They bumped it up to 18. These are like my 10th pair of these. Yeah. 18 quid and
so they don't last long.
No, but they're pure white and it's just normal, whatever. I don't know what you'd call them. But the new style of shoe, or I say new, like I sound so old. This is a millennial's hot take on the new shoe. It's like, it's
do you
a
think
big
you're,
heel.
You call yourself a millennial?
Yeah.
Elder millennial?
No, just millennial.
I don't subscribe to the whoever came up with these charts of like.
It's an easy way of saying, you know, like, I'd rather, like.
Millennial is somebody I would say who's like 30.
That too.
I like, but I'm not like them. I'm older than them. I'm a cusper.
Yeah, but. You are a cusper.
I'm on the cusp.
Yeah, but I suppose millennial.
Not Gen X. Not a millennial.
Definitely not Gen X.
I'm closer to Gen X than millennial.
Or Gen Z, am I thinking?
No, Gen
What's
Z.
What's in between millennial and boomer?
Gen X.
Yeah, I'm not.
Gen X is like 90s. So like Nirvana and stuff like that. Like that's Gen X.
Grew up in the 90s, not born in the 90s.
Yeah, grew up in the 90s. Okay. Yeah. So like I'm closer to that than I am millennial.
Yeah, we are. Definitely. Because it's the cutoff is 1980.
Says who? Like.
I don't know. Says the people.
Says the internet. Like, yeah. Fuck them. Like.
But my problem with the shoes is that.
Sorry. The shoes.
It's just. I can't get. I was in Elvery's or something the other day just looking for shoes. Well, First of all,
made a money, eh?
Yeah, I went in, walked right back out again. Yeah. I was like, I'll check TK Maxx. Yeah, still no. I go to Dunn's.
Sports Direct.
Yeah, I mean, Arklow doesn't have a huge amount. But when I was there in Elvery's or whatever it was, I'm like, first of all, at the price. And then, at the fucking style.
You're blowing your brains out.
Yeah. That's the second bullet. I missed the first, and then the second one finishes me off. But this, I feel like shoes have never looked worse. Is that, am I alone in that? Like, do you...
The type of shoes I explicitly buy now are actually mostly... Now, the last pair I bought, I regret because they pinch my pinkies.
Oh.
You'll notice that a lot of the time... I'm actually in my old pair that have a hole in it.
You're a bit of a wide footsman.
I am a wide feet guy, you know? Like, I've got lily pads.
But you... I've noticed you tend to gravitate towards skater shoes, if anything. DCs.
Not anymore, because you know why?
Why?
I do a lot of walking. And skater shoes are not conducive. You get that pain right in the middle of the bottom of your foot, and you're like, fuck. So I have to, I try to balance it with like a nice wide trainer, you know, that you would, you know, the, like I would love, here's the type of shoe I want.
Go on, mate.
I want I think it's a New Balance, I think it's 480, which are like the trainer New Balance, you know, the real like retiree New Balance, where it's like, but they're like fucking 100 quid or something. Like.
And they have shoes now that look... I'm like, there's shoes that look like ass. Like, they look like the scruffy Asics that you'd buy in 96. You know
what I mean?
I
wanted to get a pair of them.
What?
I wanted to get a pair of those Asics. Those, like, blue and white ones.
There's the ones... They're old. Again, they're, it's like they're going out of their way to make them. I like a nice, clean shoe.
I buy...
There's too much going on now.
I buy, like, Adidas squash runners.
Cool.
Because they suit my needs and... Yeah.
They're so
like,
you're very much function over fashion.
Oh man, yeah. They're like fashion for a runner is like.
Here's a question I want to ask you as well, if I may, because we've never really been ones. Granted, when I was younger, I went through like an emo-y rocker sort of look style, but apart from that, we've never really gotten into, you know, like for example,
high fashion. Are you gonna say?
Yeah,
like?
Or for example, skinny jeans are now out. Apparently, it's all baggy now. Like, that's so 6 years ago.
I very rarely change my jeans.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Boot cut.
I have some jeans that are...
I went through a flary kind of jeans phase.
Me?
Remember? I did.
You did? Yeah, I did. Oh, flares. Like,
Yeah. They're a bit, like, wider at the bottom.
But I find that just... We've never really subscribed to whatever has been in.
No, I mean, I liked polo shirts for a long period, remember?
But they never go out of style.
Yeah. That's it. That was like, I'd have like 10 different polo shirts. Or now it's like some sort of t-shirt.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
T-shirt, jeans.
Sensible trousers.
Or t-shirt.
And comfortable and runners.
T-shirt. Oh, yeah, a pair of trousers. Now, I'm kind of trying to get back into jeans. I'm trying to bring my jeans
back. Oh, back into jeans?
Yeah. Because I haven't worn them in a long time. And I'm like...
I don't think you're going to be able to go back.
I wore them out the other day. And I was like...
Comfortably?
Yeah. You said I can't fit in them anymore?
I mean, these are jeans, actually, now that you mention them.
Are they?
Dandruff and all over the place. Yeah, black jeans.
They don't look like jeans. They look like trousers.
Yeah.
Or like plastic.
All of my trousers are something that looks like something
else. Yeah, they're not jeans.
They look...
That's slim. Not jeans. They're not jeans fabric. I don't want to go up here. Let me...
Feel them.
That's not jeans, man.
All right, whatever.
The cords.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. Jeans are leather or denim, you know?
I don't know if I could go back to jeans now.
I'm not wearing them at home.
Fancy tracksuit bottoms, and maybe if I'm going somewhere where my dad's taking us, I'll dress fancy. That's the only time I'll dress fancy.
I mean, I'm not wearing my jeans at home. You know what I mean? But
no, that'd be crazy.
I wore them out.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you wear shoes at home?
In the house?
Yeah.
You crazy?
I'm not crazy. Kerry's crazy.
Shoes off as soon as I get in the door. Shoes off.
Yeah. Socks off.
Maybe after a time, you know what I mean?
It's a vibe.
You know,
socks off is a bit of a vibe. A bit of a Sunday vibe.
Socks off, though, it's like, I'm home, I've done the cleaning or whatever, and I'm like, right.
And I'm going nowhere.
Yeah, and like, yeah, yeah. Feet up on the new coffee table that we got off Freecycle.
Off Freecycle?
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
You're not hip to this?
No.
It was either Freecycle or it was free on adverts or something. Freecycle is like people posting stuff that they want to get rid of. Come take,
free.
Like,
just yeah, come get it.
Come take the trampoline, Homer. Like,
you just keep right on yeah, driving. Wow,
it's good.
Never heard
it's
of
an
this.
App. It's an app. It's way of life.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, there's some good news. Hopefully, yeah, at Old Trafford.
What is it?
Guess who's coming back?
ETH.
Well, he's signing a new deal, oh, okay, but guess who's going to be one of his assistants?
Who?
Your favourite Man United striker of all time.
Ruud van?
Yes!
Really?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
I think he's sensing that, like, I get in here, I can have the top job in a few years.
Right.
Yeah.
What's he do?
What do you mean?
What's he do?
Ruud. He's a manager. He managed PSV. Like, he won the cup with them.
So he's coming in as what at the minute?
He quit PSV two seasons ago maybe. When they were like, I don't know if they were top of the league or something.
Yeah.
But he kind of just walked away from the job. And apparently Burnley offered him the job this week. But United have offered him an assistant role. And he's going to take the assistant role, apparently. But it'd be fucking good if you could teach our strikers how to score goals.
That would be good.
For us, not for the rest of the league.
He'd stick.
If Hoyland could learn how to be a poacher like him.
Yeah, a 6-yard merchant.
Ah, man, he was the fucking best.
6-yard merchant. You know what? He was good. He was
very
good.
You can't buy players like him anymore.
No, yeah.
You can't. No, they don't exist.
So are you confident this year about...
Absolutely not. Like, I'm not, it's a learning. It depends what the injuries... Like, if we don't have Martinez or somebody, a capable deputy for him,
yeah,
we're kind of fucked. And Shaw as well. Like, we need a left back.
Yeah.
The stuff I'm hearing in around this time for transfers and stuff, I'm optimistic about. It'll still take a bit of time.
See, I find with transfers now that, like,
it's all a load of bollocks.
But like, there's no one. Like, I remember back in the day, maybe because I followed it better, or maybe it's just because the market's so crazy now. But like, there's no one that I could think of really that I'm like, oh, I'd love to get him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, we're in for such and such a player that I've known about who plays for Italy for years. Like, I only ever hear about these players, like Calafiori, or you know, who apparently Juventus are coming in for him now, and it's more likely he's going to go to them. I was very excited for like a day because I'm like, ooh, this guy.
It's a lot of that though, especially the Euros. That,
like, you know, yeah, or like all these people who are like, they've been great for half a season, they're in for 65 million, you know, that sort of stuff. So
that's all stopping at United now.
Is it? I believe it when I see it, Terry.
The guy that I'm bringing in, your man, Jerxes.
The headlines write themselves.
What?
Jerxes.
Xerxes.
Oh, okay. Xerxes.
Zed.
Oh, wow.
Zoltan.
What's that from?
Where's your car, dude?
Right, yeah, dude, where's my car, of course.
Terrible movie.
Is it, though?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it is.
It is.
Do you think it's the worst stoner movie you've ever seen?
You know what? The problem I have with it is it doesn't commit to being a stoner movie. Like, it's PG-13 and it's like, you know, it only alludes to the fact that they get high. It's not like Harold and Kumar where it's like the whole pursuit of like...
Harold and Kumar is probably the best.
All right, that means it's
the best one.
The best one in the last 20 years.
Would you class This Is the End as a stoner movie?
Kind of, but like...
A bit too high budge.
No, it's not even that. It's not really focused. Like, Them getting high.
Them getting high needs to be a focal point.
Yeah.
Like Half-Baked or...
Yeah. Harold and Kumar, like the whole thing is like they get high and they want to go get White Castle.
Yeah.
You know, because they're high.
Yeah.
It drives it, like, you know.
God, that was such a treat back in the day.
I remember, you know, being like...
To get high and watch Harold and Kumar.
Or Half-Baked.
Or Half-Baked. Yeah. And like watch it and like... But be that kind of stoned that I don't really get anymore where you're like...
Dazed and Confused was the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that one where, and it was like, you came up to my house. Was it the spice was flowing?
Oh, yeah, spice.
And I remember we were just all sitting around, like six of us. We'd been playing Mario Kart, taking a break. We were watching that. And then it was like, just like watching the movie, really enjoying the movie, and then cracking jokes while watching the movie. And
it's
like,
the best. Yeah, like, it's the best, Terry.
Take me back.
I'm very much looking forward to the old games night we have coming up, if I may
say.
I know this is a podcast and all, but I'm very excited. These are, you know what? I live for these moments now. You know what I mean? I love my family. I like my job.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, good for you.
When I'm around like you and Andy, and it's just even just for a night or whatever, you know, even because I was only thinking about when we went to that farm a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was like just the whole thing of like coming in and like just putting on a football match.
Yeah.
And everyone's into the football match. And you don't have to do anything except watch the football match.
And you can get as annoyed as you want at the football match.
Yeah. You're going to stick a pizza on. It's just for me. And I'm going to go for a smoke now or something, or I'm going to crack open a beer now. And then I'm going to sit back down and continue watching the match. And no one's going to say shit. It's fucking brilliant, Terry. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, great.
Anyway. And else you want to talk about before we get into this movie, which I have a bit to say about.
Oh, great. No, I think I'm okay. I can't think of any segue. You know who doesn't like to crack a beer? By the end of this movie, it's our man Dan Torrance, a.k.a. Hugh McGregor.
Love it.
You're magic, like me.
I need you to listen to me. The world's a hungry place. A dark place.
Hi there.
I only met two or three people like us. They died. When I was a kid, I bumped into these things. I don't know about magic. I always called it the Shining.
That was the trailer for 2019's Doctor Sleep, directed by Mike Flanagan, starring Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson, Cliff Curtis, and many more. I can't go into
Johnny's
all of them.
Good.
Yeah. Andy,
yeah?
Care to take a stab at the budget?
I'm guessing this is a bit of a lower budget-ish. I'd say 15 million.
45 Ooh. Million.
Woo! Yowza.
Yeah. They shot a lot on location, I believe.
Good.
Yeah. You can tell. Care to guess the opening weekend box office?
I would say it's a horror, and Hollywood hates horrors. Opening weekend, 20 million.
14.
Ooh.
Just shy. Out. Domestic total?
45 million.
31 million.
Mm.
Worldwide total?
68 million.
72. Just.
I'm in.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Critics?
Critics all agree?
I would say 78.
Fuck.
Bang on?
Yeah.
That's two in a row.
Ugh.
Fuck yeah. I'm so good at this.
You're good at the Rotten Tomatoes, I guess.
Sensing.
Audience.
I could just sense it.
Are you shining over there?
No. These aren't over. Audience, I would say 76.
89.
Okay.
Well received.
Was it?
Yes. According to Rotten Tomatoes, anyway. In 2013, Stephen King published his sequel novel to The Shining, called Doctor Sleep. A highly anticipated follow-up. People had been asking him for years to write one.
Follow-up to The Shining.
Yeah. Because, I don't know if you know this, he hated the movie The Shining.
Did he?
Hated.
Because, was the book very different?
Yeah, like the hotel burns down at the end of the book.
Right.
And I think one of the main differences is there is no hotel in this, in the sequel book, like the True Knot, you know, like that's the name of the vampires. Oh, yeah. That they all basically, they set up camp there on the grounds after the hotel. But like, he hated it because it was like Kubrick changed a lot of what he I'm not really interested. I'm more interested in, you know, the relationship between the father and the son in the movie as opposed to the alcoholism.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hated it. And he basically has kind of denounced it as a film.
Wow.
And it got, weirdly, like, it's a film that, like,
it's the classics, like.
Yeah, but it got like a bunch of Razzie nominations that year as well, which I don't think it was well received at the time at all. Like,
huh.
Yeah, which for me is crazy because it was like the scariest movie I've ever seen when I was a kid.
Was it?
Oh, The Shining?
Yeah.
Fucking scared the hell out of me.
The first, I think I've said it to you before, but.
Yes.
The first time I saw a naked lady on television was the bathroom scene in The Shining.
The bathtub lady.
We were staying over, having a sleepover. I remember specifically, I was 12, and she gets out of the bath. She's young and vibrant, naked lady. And we're all like, ho, 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 ho. And then she turns into a wretched, decrepit old woman. And that was the first time I'd seen bush on TV. Yeah, it was very jarring. Should we say.
In late 2017,
yeah,
Warner Brothers, I don't know if you remember this, they released a film called It Part 1, and it was a smash. It Part 2, also a smash, less so.
Slightly less so, yeah.
Have you seen those movies?
I have not.
First one's good.
I saw, do you know what?
Second one's dog shit.
I turned it off. I saw the first one and I turned it off after 15 because the dialogue was ass.
Yeah.
Great opening.
Hey, and Georgie.
Like, even that, I was like, grand, that's his thing. But it was just the general character dialogue after it. Do you know the way I'd say before my mental ranking? I'm like, everything starts with an A+, and then I'm like, ka-chunk, oh, it's here. It's this level movie. Ka-chunk, oh, it's like this. And then if it gets to C, if you're ka-chunking down to a C in the first 10 minutes, I'm out of here.
You are bizarre. But that was a huge success. So that led them to fast track the production of Doctor Sleep. Basically, they had to convince Stephen King to like give it his blessing. Because he was like, well,
grats.
Yeah, kind of. And they hired Mike Flanagan. They were kind of saying, it's going to be a sequel to The Shining movie. And Stephen King's like, no, fuck that. Like, you know, you fucked over my movie last time.
Yeah. He was like, we weren't alive back then. Well, you're all alike.
So, but when they hired Mike Flanagan, he was able to convince him that he would kind of, yes, take what the studio wanted and make it a sequel to the movie, but also, like, incorporate what Stephen King wanted.
Yeah.
Hence the scene at the end of the movie with Jack Torrance at the bar.
Yeah.
That was written for King. Like, Mike Flanagan wrote that scene to be like, look, this is what I want to be bringing to it. And he was like, happy.
You won him over. You've charmed me. Yeah. Stephen King wrote the sequel.
Yeah, he wrote the sequel book. Like, but it was like,
but he didn't want anyone to do a movie about it.
Yeah, because he was like, he's fucked up. Like, he's very, he's notoriously hard to please. He's
really?
I'd
say he hates a lot of the movies that were adapted from his books.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many
pretty much 15% of all horror movies.
I'm sure he hates them, but also is like, Jesus, Ben, I said I'm busy.
Yeah, counting his money.
So they hired Flanagan because he had, you know, he'd come off a couple of, indie, but like smaller successes that kind of put him on the map as the new guy. And he had done Gerald's Game, which was also King adaptation. And so he was kind of the natural fit for it. And he had said that basically they talked, they had a lot of talk about like trying to get Jack Nicholson back to do a scene. And get him on board, and they, he basically, Jack Nicholson's like, I'm retired. You, I like, I sit in my hammock all day.
If this guy, this guy is just winning.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson. Oh, yeah, like
he's just like, I'm retired.
I'm using the word hate. I hate acting.
About acting.
I'm using the word hate about acting. So they were like, oh well, maybe we could make like a CGI. And he said, the Irishman was just coming out, or he'd seen parts of it, and he said, I don't want that. It's not for me.
Dead right.
So I'm just going to recast everybody.
I noticed that was a bold move, wasn't it?
I think it's fucking great.
It's a good move.
I think it's a really good move. He said, and you you may notice if you watch some of his other stuff, his Netflix stuff and his other movies, he has like a, I mean, his the girl he's married to. You never saw that movie Hush in the end, no?
No.
Like his wife, and she's in those Hill House haunting Bly Manor and stuff. She's in all of his stuff, basically.
Right.
She's not in this one, funnily enough, but like a bunch of the other people in it, they're all kind of part of his troupe. That like the guy who play fucking Bruce. What the fuck? Why can't I think of his name? The AA, the guy who leads the AA meeting.
Oh yeah.
He's like in Haunting of Bly Manor, and he's fucking amazing.
He looked like, just even looking at him, I was like,
what a fucking movie star.
Yeah, I bet you he's good.
What can I think of his name? Hold on.
Doesn't matter.
But basically, yeah, there's not really much more. Like, he kind of rewrote, there was an original script by Akiva Goldsman, and he rewrote it, and he was like, I want to focus on, a big thing in his horror movies is like emotional pain, and how horror movies, you might see five people get killed,
yeah,
and the character's fine, quote unquote. And he's like, well, no, because that's a very traumatic experience. And like you can see in this movie, he's like, we're going to show you how fucked up your life would be after surviving your dad trying to murder you and seeing a bunch of ghosts and stuff like that. Like, really does start the movie off at like rock bottom.
And I noticed he wrote, directed, and edited this movie.
Which is, no, you normally have an editor there to work with you.
But he it said edited by Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, so, you know, he
wow. Single-handedly.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of an industry to himself these days. Because he's gone, he's left Netflix.
Yeah, have you seen that?
He's gone to
another streaming.
Yeah, so Amazon, I think he might be gone to. Because he was basically saying, and then he started, talking out about Netflix. Like, they never let me put anything on physical media. Like, I want to make Blu-rays of all my stuff, whatever. Yeah. They won't let me. Like, which sucks, to be honest. Yeah, jerks.
Who are they to be calling shots?
Do you want to get into it?
Yes,
tell me
do.
What you think.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Hold your rage until I finish it. Okay.
That's fucking bullshit.
Okay. So. This was the journey that I was on with this movie.
I didn't watch it.
No. But, no. I checked it out on Monday. I was like, I just, like I do, before I download it, I'm like, what's the runtime on this? 2 hours, 32. And I was so, Terry, I was so fucking pissed off.
Why?
I was like, another fucking 2.5 plus.
Director's cut is 3 hours.
Ugh. I was like, this is unbelievable that not one of these has been a sub 2 hour movie. Except maybe, I don't know, something probably was. But
Colour of Money was less than 2 hours.
Didn't feel
you would have known that if you'd watched it.
I watched like 70% of it, of Colour of Money. Right? But anyway, that's not the point.
That is the point.
So with this one, I was like, right. I was like, out of spite to myself, I didn't watch it on, I didn't start it on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope. I'll watch what I watch.
I'll watch It's Always Sunny for the 100th time.
I was like, I want to watch England versus Slovenia. I don't want to watch this fucking. Anyway.
England versus Slovenia was last night, mate.
Gone on in my head. Yeah. So, because I was watching it last night. I was like, I'm not watching it on Monday, and then Tuesday came around, like, I don't even want to watch it now. I want to watch it. Fuck. I was like, all right, I'll watch the first 10, and then I'll see the key scenes. I'll ask ChatGPT, what are the key scenes to pretend like I've seen it, right? Now, this was
First of all, it's unbelievable how brazen you are, but even just...
I'm just telling you now. Yeah, it's brazen. I'm just honest now, right? But... And this isn't something that I've been doing the whole time. This is just something... I'm crawling to the finish line here. However, when I stuck it on with the intention of skimming it, and it hooked me straight away that I couldn't skim, because I attempted. I was like, next, get to the next bit. Like, oh, no, go back. And at the point, I was like, you know what? I'm just fucking watching it. Kerry nodded off early, which helped my case. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to continue this on. I was far more hooked on that than I was on the England game, and honestly, I fucking loved it.
I knew you would.
I was like, first I thought, when you said Dr. Sleep, Ewan McGregor, I thought, like, this is gonna be like 1998 some fucking shit, but like, it was a
new
good gripping horror by a guy who I have to say is, I mean, I'm all in on this guy.
Flanagan has
so
the goods.
Fucking good,
Andy. Do yourself a favor.
I've loved everything I've seen that he's
but
done.
But Midnight Mass is by far... I mean,
is that his best thing?
I mean, this is his best movie, I think.
Right.
But Midnight Mass is his best TV series. I fucking loved it.
And I loved what I've seen, but yeah, I haven't seen that and haven't seen...
Look at this, Andy. Chills from this reaction for you.
Just even talking about it.
Yeah.
But I fucking... I loved it.
Yes, Andy.
I thought it was... I thought it was brilliant.
It fucking rules, doesn't it? Like,
I was gripped. There was so much happened in the first 10 minutes I'm like,
actually,
yeah, even the first five, where I'm just like, whoa, or something, where I'm like, okay,
like it certainly helps to have somebody like Rebecca Ferguson.
She was the one with the hat.
Rose the hat.
She Irish?
She is not Irish, but she puts an Irish accent on. She worked with a dialect coach in this movie to throw in an Irish accent. Because her character has been around for like thousands of years.
Oh.
So she's like, you know,
bravo.
Part of it is, you know, her name is Rose.
Yeah.
You know, Irish name.
And do you remember,
you know who she is, right?
No.
Oh, Andy.
Is it Donna from the 70s show?
If I was to say the name to you, that's Ilse. Ilse Faust. We literally watched her in three movies back to back with your boy DC.
Well, oh yeah, that is. I knew the name Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
When I came up, I'm like, I've seen
different
that
performance.
Before.
Certainly different performance.
Totally
in
different.
This, yeah.
Much fairer in this, to be honest.
But she is. Well, I think she's fantastic.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I remembered the first scene where she's sitting and the girl comes up to her and all this.
Upsetting. It's an upsetting scene.
Yeah, but I remember I saw that. Seen as somewhere a couple of years ago, I remember thinking and saying to Kerry, like, oh, that looks pretty good, or that looks like something I'd want to see. And I remember, and that's maybe what helped me at the start. I'm like, oh, that is that thing that I was like, oh, I've seen this before, and I liked it. It was really good. And I thought Ewan McGregor, I thought I'd be like, whatever. Like, I was waiting to hate it. This is one that I wasn't going in with open arms. And it won me over anyway.
That's the power of movies, Andy!
I'd go as far as to say this is the movie that I've enjoyed the most.
Wow.
Out of...
Even more than Top Gun?
Yeah, I think I enjoyed this
more.
Wow. I think so. Cause
I guess I put more horror movies on.
I was... Hell yeah, man. As you know, I'm a horrorsman, but...
Yeah, but you like shit horror. Like, this is to me, is like, this is a really good horror.
If it's really good... I like really good horror. The horrors I hate are the control or the copy and paste.
Why do you keep picking them then?
I don't pick anything.
No one gets out alive. There's someone in your house.
Yeah, but this was just a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
That's what they had. But all, like, you know, and I tell you, Nope is on the agenda. I see that's on.
Why don't you hold off on that?
Just
hold off on it. I got a whole. It's in a mini series.
On Patreon.
Yeah,
you got this all mapped out, don't
you? Yeah, man.
I
tell you what. Hold off until we get the results from our first Patreon viewers poll.
Interactive.
Right?
That's right, folks. Yeah. If you're on the Patreon, you get to choose
where we
you
go
get to
next.
Help me help you. Yeah. You want to listen to good quality
discourse.
Yeah. That's the word.
What I like about this movie is there's very few jump scares.
Yeah.
And the ones that are there, like, it's not like it's a bleh, you know, there's none of that. Because Mike Flanagan has said, I hate that shit.
Great.
And I would rather upset you or make it, like, unnerving.
That's the best kind.
Yeah.
And that's why all of his stuff is good, because everyone else in horror, like, all of the...
They like to startle you, don't they? Like,
yeah, and like, what's the big series that everyone loves? The horror
Conjuring. Never seen one of them.
I haven't, but in a way, we've seen them all. Yeah.
I think they're good though. Like,
it's formulaic. I just find they're so formulaic, and the jump scares,
or like Insidious. I haven't seen
Insidious. That's what I'm thinking of. And I'm not arsed to see them because I've seen it. You know what I mean? And they don't give me an original. Whereas every time I watch one of Mike Flanagan's movies, I'm like, oh, that's fucking good. Or something makes me go, whoa. I want that rather than a, whoa.
Kind of check it. You should, I mean, it's on Netflix there. Gerald's Game. I mean, I've said it to you a few times.
I started it, but it was a bit too upsetting.
Bruce Greenwood's in that too, actually.
Stuff about kids.
That's who it is. It's Bruce Greenwood is the guy.
But yeah, it was a bit too, I don't know. I didn't quite vibe with that one.
I think the casting in this is key. Like, I think Ewan McGregor is really good because he knows how to portray being in pain.
Yeah,
he's very good at
face acting.
Yeah, at doing that. Like, whether it is physical or emotional, I think he's very good.
Yeah,
and this film is upsetting. It is an upsetting film, but I also like fucking dig it.
Oh yeah.
But as a father of two children, there's a lot of upsetting stuff with kids in this movie.
Yeah.
The most upsetting is when Ewan McGregor picks up a girl, Dan Torrance, he picks up a girl in a bar, she ODs, and the next day, like, he takes money from her wallet, and then a little kid is there, and he just puts the kid in the room with the dead mom and leaves. And then, like, half an hour later in the movie, you've kind of forgotten about it. You're like, but he's at like rock bottom. And then he just wakes up and he sees the dead woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, nobody has come for us. Because I, you know, was negligent with my child, they always heard him screaming. So they just assumed he was screaming. And then, like, the little baby is dead. The little toddler is dead. Yeah. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, it was a lot like that.
It's a lot. But, like, it's also, it's important for the character because it shows you at this point in his life how, like, he's sleeping rough, he's a drifter.
Yeah.
You know, he is really... Life has taken a toll on him since his dad went crazy. Yeah. and tried to murder him.
Or even, like, the kid, the baseball kid.
I want to talk about this. So, do you know who that kid is?
No.
So, that's Jacob Tremblay, right?
I hate him.
No, like...
I liked him. I hate him now.
This guy is going to be, like, the fucking future. Do you ever see... Oh, yeah? Do you remember that movie Room? You know Brie Larson?
I've heard of
Captain Marvel herself.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
She won the Oscar for Room.
Wow.
Where it was like her and her son live in this room in some guy's back garden or whatever. She's like, it's a sex slave thing. Like, she had the baby in there. He's in that movie and he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. He was never going to win, I don't think. But that was like when he was like 8. And this, he's going around, you know, he's been in other stuff since. But they're saying, this kid is an absolute pro.
Wow.
And they said, when they did that scene where, you know, they said you only see 5%. So in the movie, it is, he has the shine. Because the whole group, the True Knot, which is like Rose the Hat and her gang, they feast on people who have the shine.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they live. And they're kind of, things are getting harder for them. They're not, there's not as many people with the shine out there.
Yeah.
So they go on scouting parties and they see this kid, and it's a great bit of dialogue where it's like, oh, this kid, it's like he knows where the pitcher's going to throw the ball every time. It's like he's using his shine to be a good baseball player. And they pick him up and they fucking tie him to the ground and feast on him.
Because normally when you see that sort of stuff, you're like, you'll see, like, they'll kidnap him and then you'll see, like, the glove on the ground or something like this. But this is like, no, like, we're going to tie you down and we're going to jam a thing into your leg and rip it and torture you and you're going to scream Like, he said, you don't see that a lot.
No, movies. And Flanagan said he had the trying to find, it took him like a couple of months in the editing room to be like, I need to find the balance of, you need to hate Rose and know how dangerous she is, but also like try and understand like that these guys are like junkies essentially or a pack of feral animals. But anyway, that scene where he's screaming and he's like, please don't hurt me, you know, like all that. They said, like, Rebecca Ferguson said she couldn't talk after doing it because it was so upsetting for her doing that scene. And everybody was like, they're like, oh, Jacob fucking devastated us, man. And he got up when he finished, got up, dusted himself off, went over, high-fived his dad and got like a snack from the table. And they're like, what a pro.
This kid.
He's like, he's going places.
That's
like, that's a very upsetting scene with it. Like, where, but again, I love that they show it. That's
the thing, yeah.
You know, it's scary. That's scary. You know, that's horror for me, you know.
Yeah.
Not like an obligatory jump scare.
Yeah.
And I like how, like, 2 hours 30, I watched it in two chunks. Because, you know, sometimes I got to wait till people go to bed before. Like, I was like, do you want to watch this with me today? She's like, no. I don't.
Not a chance.
I was like, you love The Shining, though. I'm like, yeah, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And she's probably right. 10 minutes in, she would have been like, it. Why is that little girl being eaten by a bunch of these people? And even the way she gets eaten, where it's like, they're just my friends. And it's like more of them just appear. You're like, oh. But, like, first hour and a half, I was like, flew by. You know, like,
because they really top loaded it as well with, like, it didn't take half an hour to get into it. It's like, you're kind of straight into it.
But even, you know, like, a lot of it is conversation. And, like, you're gripped by the conversation. Like, when your man, Carl Lumley, who's playing the Scatman Crothers character, like, again, great bit of casting that it's like, you're just off by 10 degrees. You know what I mean? Like, you're...
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good impression or whatever like that. Yeah. Like, you know, of all the... Like, the woman who plays his mom in it does a pretty good Shelley Duvall. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, they've got... They kind of got
it
down.
I'd even say she was better.
I know you don't like that performance. I fucking love it. Like,
it's just so bad.
Daddy!
It was so bad.
Daddy!
But I have to say, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the whole thing. I just love the fact that it was like, I feel like it's made for horror fans. He makes these movies for horror fans. It's not the jump scare, or even worse, the psych jump scare, like, you asshole. Like, oh, sorry.
What was the, like, when was the last time you got worked or liked that type of scare?
I think a long time ago. I can't...
I think Scream is probably the last time where it's like, you know, she's at the computer and then it's like Billy shows up at the window and you're like, oh, you know, like...
Yeah. I don't know. I just, like,
Like, that's 1996. Recall. That's like 30 years ago.
Oh my God. I don't recall really ever liking that. Or it really affecting me either. I'm just like,
now I am.
You know, yeah. And like, you know it's coming, or you're kind of waiting for it. But this one, like, and all of his movies, I find there's some sort of surprise in it. You know, whether it's, you know, the old lady in the bath at the start and just pulls the curtain, I'm like, that's enough. Like, that does it. Like,
and I think it's a great plot device of him being able to, like, lock them away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the kid then who has the...
Abra.
Yeah.
That scene where you first meet her and, like, the magician, she's like, I can do that. He's like,
yeah.
Come on, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm working here. And then you come in and all the spoons are, like, on the ceiling. And you're like, imagine you were that parent.
I know. You're like, and you're, what?
Oh, my God.
But what I loved about
Honey, come here.
Is, like, she off the bat is, like, so strong that she's fucking with all these people who've been torturing kids and all this, and she's fucking blowing your one across the shop and, like,
I love, like, her reaction
into her
to
head
it.
And when Rose is going to
how
her
good
room.
Was the filing cabinet,
yeah, like,
how unnerving even just the sound of her in the filing cabinet. You're like, ugh.
Straight off the bat, like, oh, we've met our match with this one. And whereas normally I find you wouldn't get that in the horror, you would get, it's like, we're going to get you until the very end. Maybe there's a little trick where it's like, straight away, it's like, oh, she's tricking them right away. And so it was an interesting dynamic, I thought, with her versus them. And I thought
it's the little things in this movie, though, as well. Like you say, like, that's an interesting dynamic. The idea of, like, he doesn't actually talk to Abra for like an hour plus.
Yeah.
He's doing the, you know, they have the blackboard wall and he's like saying hello, whatever. But it's not like, oh, you know, this bond that's been going on forever. It kind of, when shit starts to heat up, that's when their communication gets stronger.
And I suppose I'm slightly conscious of the fact that probably most people haven't seen it, so I'm conscious of getting too in-depth in it.
Go watch it, guys, if you haven't. But
I would highly recommend. And I'll be honest, like I was like, this fucking poxy movie. This fucking.
It's my movies are the best, man.
And
right?
It hooked me. Yeah. And I was watching it on the laptop. I didn't even have it on the TV. I had it on the laptop, which is normally like, I stacked everything against myself. I had it all to watch.
Flanagan just busted right through.
This guy, who looks like he could be in a horror movie as well, let's face it. But that's beside the point.
Can I ask you, just before we wrap up on it there, the scene with, quote-unquote, Jack Nicholson, with Jack Torrance in it, what did you make of it?
I liked it. I really
it was a good
it.
Impersonation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know who it is?
Who was it? E.T.?
The kid from E.T.
Elliot?
Yeah. Elliot.
He played the Jack Nicholson character in this. What?
Yeah, because he's in all those House of Usher and Hill House and all that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But I remember the first time in my head I was like, I don't know if I like that when I watched it. And watching it this time, I was like, actually, it's a really like subtle Jack Nicholson performance.
So you've seen this? You saw this?
Oh, yeah, I'd seen it before, yeah. That's why. And the thing is with it, I really liked it when I watched it. And then it stuck with me for like a few days afterwards where I was like, oh, another thing. You know, it kind of lingered on.
Yeah.
And same thing happened. Like, I was a bit worried that you mightn't like this. Then I was like, you know what? I like it though.
Yeah.
It's like, so like, and I don't mean that. I don't mean like, well, fuck him. But I mean like, I'm.
So there might be something there that.
But also that I was like, oh, did I make a mistake? And I was like, no, it's good. You didn't make a mistake picking it. Because I was like, I could have done, you know,
Different
horror sequel. Yeah. Like, you know.
Do you know what? Here's the biggest, I don't know what the word is, but when I was watching it, I actually felt guilty that I wasn't watching it with Kerry.
Because
she'd fucking love this as well. Like that was, you know, normally I'm like, I'll get out of the way. I'm like, you want to watch whatever, you know? And she's like, you're grand. Watch it yourself. I may tune in for 20 minutes if you put it on the TV, the bedroom TV.
Here's something. We watched The Holdovers at Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Myself and Faye, and we were like, I think that's going to be a Christmas rotation movie. And I was thinking to myself, Dr. Sleep could be a Halloween.
Yeah.
Like The Shining was one we watched around Halloween quite a bit. I think this one could be one that I would slip into the Halloween rotation. You should try watching a Halloween with Kerry and see what you think.
I think I will.
Yeah.
Because I think genuinely, like, I know this is like sacrilege, especially for horror fans, but like, I would watch this over The Shining. Because of, you know, I have that block with really old movies. I've seen The Shining. I enjoy The Shining. But if I'm not thinking of legacy, I'm not thinking of classics, I just have this movie and I have that movie, I would enjoy the newer one more than I would enjoy The Shining. I would enjoy The Shining
just
for what
the way
it
looks.
And
like,
I would have to filter through the, they let things breathe more, my own attention span, you know, things like that.
It's
like,
a very breathy movie,
I would
though.
Love it and I would appreciate it. But I think if I had the two, if I'm being totally honest, I would enjoy, I'd get more out of this one.
Did you enjoy Cliff Curtis in this movie? I forgot to talk about him.
Who's Cliff Curtis?
Cliff Curtis is the guy who like finds him and he's like, are you on the bus or did you hitch a ride?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's
like
a
him,
sober
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah, I liked him, yeah.
Terrible, untimely end for him.
Yeah, I know. Oh. And that was another one where it's like, oh, shit, like, I wasn't expecting him to die. Like, that was a real good as well. Stay away, and she's just like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, no.
That, I mean, that's a very good character, so like a pusher, she's called. And, you know, she can tell people, like, there's just good characters in it, and like, good portrayals.
What would you give it? What would you give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it 9. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 9. Like,
I would also give it a 9.
Yeah, I like I, Do I think it's the best one we've watched? Not necessarily.
I mean, it's up there with Godfather 2, like, but...
Well, Godfather 2 is a 10, you know what I mean? But, like, this, for me, it's like... I don't know, it... Part of me was like, I picked it because I was like, because it fucking rules. Yeah. And in my mind, it was like, it rules. And then I watched it and I was like, yeah, it fucking rules.
Like, I like the fact that you had this internal back and forth.
Well, it was battle. Because I was like, oh, it's 2.5 hours.
This fucker's going to give out about this.
And I totally redeemed yourself, Andy.
Oh, yeah. I was very, very happy with
it. Who are you going to give Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting to?
Excellence in Acting. Rose...
She
looks Irish as well. She looks.
She is part Irish in real life. She's like sweet.
An Irish name in the credits, and I couldn't figure out who it was. It was a few after Rebecca Ferguson. There was the fourth or fifth in the credits. Something sounded Irish. Anyway,
she's like part Swedish, English, Irish. It's kind of like Fassbender, like you know, that mix.
A mutt.
She'd be my. She's so fucking good.
She's brilliant.
Like, it was just even like. Well, hi there. You know, every time she meets somebody, and then she's like, "How have I not met you before?" Yeah. You know,
and she balances the line of like, "Okay, if I was a kid, I think I wouldn't be threatened. Oh, I'd be threatened by that though. Okay, no, I'd be back now. Oh no, I'd be scared again." You know, like sort of like she comes off like
her fit.
Yeah,
her fit is incredible.
Her fit,
her clothes.
Oh yeah.
It's like
I'm not up to date on the lingo.
I mean, you're looking at like she's dressed like fucking Stevie Nicks for most of the movie.
Yeah,
like,
she is. Line reading.
Say it properly.
The Daniel Peachtree.
The Daniel Day-Lewis Peachtree Award for best line reading in the movie.
Best line reading. I really should have thought about this in advance. You got one?
One of the ones I really liked. I don't know why it just hit me when he's like, Carl Lumley's like, "You have to take a money too, Doc." I was like, oh, if I didn't feel bad enough, that a ghost haunting me that's telling me like. And then
I can't think of.
There was a line reading as well by Rose Hat where she's like, when she, at the end, I thought it was fucking great visually where she's like, has Abra by the throat.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're in your mind. And she's like, wait a minute. We're not in your mind. And it's like the casket or whatever is just closing up behind her.
Yeah.
Her realization when she's like, "We're not in your mind." It's not a very quotable movie.
Yeah, it's not that sort. You know, but, it was fucking. Yeah, I can't think of one to be honest off the top of my head. But I'm all in.
Yeah.
It won me over. It won me over in spite of myself.
Hush is a good one.
Yeah.
Ouija 2, Origin of Evil.
Sorry,
Ouija. But it's not spelled Ouija. I know what you're saying. Like,
you say Ouija board.
But it's Ouija. It's spelled Ouija.
I'm going to call it Ouija.
Ouija 2?
No one says Ouija board. It's Ouija board. It's just how it is. Like colonel, but it's spelled colonel. You know? We just all agree that's how we say it.
No, people say Ouija.
Ouija board?
I can see it.
Does ring a stupid little bell.
Your argument is falling apart like a house Irish of cards. Man. I think it is. It's like Billy Joel.
No, stop it.
Or Paprika.
Paprika. We've long established. We took a poll on Instagram.
I tell you, I got more votes than I thought I would have, to be honest.
You got a couple by the end, where I'm like, who are these idiots?
on board.
Sorry if you
come on in.
Paprika.
The water's fine. okay, let's get our plugs in.
Folks, you can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. Please give us an L follow there. You'll also find links to everything we do there, including...
We have a website as well now.
We've also got a website. I was waiting to unveil that on the new series, but we've got a...
Sure he was.
We've got a fucking website. Thanks very much to listener and personal friend of the pod, Thomas Coffey, for... it's called whatsogreatabout.com.
Yeah?
Right?
Send me the link
and we'll be updating that. I mean, we/he will be updating that with everything.
I want to put a little section in where you can get access to our ratings. I personally we'll go back. Yeah. And like Andy rated this a 5.
Oh, that'd be great because I don't remember.
I'll personally go back and put it together.
Good, great. Yeah. Great, you know? That's great.
I personally will.
Stop saying personally.
I take it personally.
You will also find a link there on our Instagram to our Patreon, where for the low fee of €5 a month, you get early access to every episode. You get at least two Bono episodes, that's bonus episodes a month, and you will find, if you sign up now, you get access to, I'm ballparking it, but about 5,000 episodes gratis.
Except for the $5 you pay for them, you know, but
gratis,
yeah,
in asterisks, yeah. But you get, we have a bunch of top 5 episodes, we have episodes where we pitch each other our own movie ideas, and
you get our back catalogue of our original,
of course,
WSGA miniseries,
the MCU, Ryan Gosling series, 90s action, Big Willy's flops, aka Will Smith's bad movies,
and you get to shape what is coming your way when we're back behind the paywall. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna put a little poll up there. You can vote on the genre, director, whatever it is, and we'll narrow it down from there. You're not going to have final say. I'm not going to.
I mean, that'd be crazy, yeah, but you know, you will lead the direction of the pod on the Patreon, yeah, if you sign up.
If you want us to focus on a director, vote director. If you want us to focus on a genre, vote genre. A year? Vote year, you know?
Or wildcard. That's an Andy pick.
No.
Every option should have wildcard. If they don't like the option,
I will give you one pick for
thank you so much
for mini series, permitted it's in the boundaries of the topic.
How is this? You know, it's
you're getting your way.
Okay, you know what, I'm getting my way.
It's a trade-off. Actually, you know what, I rescind that offer. I've given you enough.
All right,
now Andy,
yeah,
if they can't afford the €5 a month on the old Patreon, mm-hmm, they can do us a favor.
They can open their door, walk out in front of traffic, and let nature take its course.
All right.
Okay.
Or you can give me a rating and review. Now, in this movie, did you know that Dan Torrance paid $85 a week for his little studio apartment? But Andy, I don't want an 85-star review. That'd be crazy. I want a 5-star review. It really helps grow the podcast, any of those we can get. And guys, thanks so much for your listens and all that stuff. We are back in the charts regularly in, you know, puts you guys back in our hearts.
Where we belong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where we belong. We're at this game a long time now. Anything other than top 20 is unacceptable. There's a fly that keeps fucking landing on all the right episode.
It's okay.
Little bastard.
There's a fly. It's just a fly.
I've been bubbling up about this fly. And episode.
Next week, we're back for our last one.
Our last ever main, well, not last ever, but our last of the series and the last movie review. On the main feed. After next week, see that lovely bit of preamble that we had before? It's just going to be all that. Only we'll have a bit more structure to it and we'll have recurring things and stuff like
I'm gonna bring in a couple of recurring bits.
Terry's gonna add a little bit of structure to it. Yeah. I'm gonna rip up the rule book and
bananas. What do you think about bananas? They're pretty good, aren't they? It's what you got to look forward to, folks.
No, you're not selling it right. We're gonna be talking about current things.
And I'm the one that brings up the current stuff all the time.
What are you talking about? Yeah, great.
Yeah,
that's why we're a great pair. All right.
We make a beautiful team.
On that note, folks, we'll catch you next. What bullshit are we watching next week?
Bullshit?
Yeah.
We're back with our old buddy, John McClane. It's Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2. Okay, well, but you've seen that one at least, so you'll enjoy that.
Folks. Me or
folks,
them?
I'm looking at the camera. Sorry, they can't tell.
I'm me?
Hey, don't jerk me around. Okay.
We'll see you then. When I wake up early in the morning.